City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
For too long, marginalized communities have been the victims of racial injustice. Stories left untold.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Problems left unchanged and promises left unfulfilled.
We're marching to be seen, we are marching to be heard, and we continue to march for change.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Saria Rahim vividly remembers the time police officers came to her school with dogs, searching for something, but she to this day doesn't know what they were looking for. There was also a time in seventh grade that one of her classmates was put into the back of a cop car and didn't return to school for a week. Interactions between police and students felt normal for her, until she shared her experiences with her uncle.
He was like, that's not normal, that's traumatizing, that's scary. And I was like, yeah, but I kind of just at some point was like, I just never questioned it until he kind of broke it down for me.
And Raheem says it's not just the big incidents that impact students.
It can be very small things, and those small things add up and they just kind of feel normal at some point.
She told her story publicly at a police accountability forum held by the city of Syracuse in July. The People's Agenda for Policing Coalition called for the removal of police from city schools as part of their list of demands for city officials. They say that security resource officers, commonly referred to as SROs, cause more harm than protection to Black and brown students. This call for removal is not a new one, but this time it was propelled by racial justice demonstrations in Syracuse and across the country after multiple killings of Black people by police in 2020. Those at the center of the movement in Syracuse have pushed public officials to take a closer look at a number of ways police are involved in the community, including the Syracuse City School District Board of Education. The board began its conversations in late July, following a commitment made at that public police accountability meeting earlier in the month.
The school board has to be together to discuss this, and we are committed to having at our next meeting this discussion. We are going to set that agenda on the 8th, and it's going to be either at our work session on the 22nd or on the 27th.
They agreed SROs need greater accountability measures that are controlled by the district and district-wide clarity on the SRO's job description. But ultimately, they're not yet ready to remove SROs from schools.
Districts should have a bigger role in who's assigned where so that they become part of that culture.
That's Commissioner David Cecil.
Jimmy Johnson, who was at Henniger for a long time, I think he's at ITC now, he's a Henniger grad. And he wanted to become a cop because of relationships that he built.
I wouldn't want the principal at Nottingham breaking up a fight between 8 and 9 kids and then he putting himself in harm's way.
Commissioner Derek Dorsey.
We applaud when people step up and interrupted something that was bad that was happening, but it's not something we said it's in his job description.
I have been in the buildings when thankfully there was an SRO there, or it would have been totally out of control. And so I think that it's important that we hear from the students, but I also think it's important that we hear from more parents.
Commissioner Patricia Bodie and Commissioner Tamika Barnett.
How do we ensure that some of our teachers and administrators are not using the SROs to intimidate the Black and brown kids for behavioral issues? Because that's the biggest complaint that we get. Like, they're used to intimidate instead of, and you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Our teachers and administrators and school security should be able to deal with behavioral issues with kids. That shouldn't be a reason to call the SRO.
The board decided by the end of the meeting to keep SROs in school this year, but explore alternatives. Saria Rahim said that she does know people who have gotten to know the SROs at their schools, but the experience is not universal.
Some security has said, like, oh, we ended up being, like, someone for students to vent to, And I think that's good, and I think these people are good, but there's something about Black students constantly seeing security in a uniform roaming the halls. And for some students, a different experience with that security officer. Like, I might have a great relationship with said security, but another student may feel uncomfortable because they constantly feel like they're being watched in the hallways.
A July survey sent out to district stakeholders, parents, students, teachers, showed that parents and teachers largely thought SROs kept schools safe. But the sample size of the survey was small, especially among students and community members. At the same time, community organizers presented a petition with over 700 signatures to remove SROs. Board President Katie Sojewitz said this isn't a process that should be rushed.
My own personal opinion is taking the time to make sure that we have a specific plan for how to get input from as many students and then families as possible. And if that takes longer, mm-hmm. and it goes into the school year because you have the students in front of you on a Zoom or in front of you in the classroom, then I would personally be okay with that.
Superintendent Jaime Alicea, Board President Katie Sojewitz, and Board Vice President Mark Muhammad met with the mayor's office in August to discuss the future of SROs further. Muhammad said the meeting was productive, and it was clear that more voices needed to be at the table for this decision.
A demand was made by the citizens of the city to remove the police and to change the police reform broadly. And so our conversation was, how do we respect those demands? How do we listen to that voice and then do what's best for our children? And for us as the superintendent to decide that, or us as the board to decide that, or the police department to decide that, or the mayor's office to decide that, we felt that we should broaden the conversation to include more voices, to wrap our heads around this and come up with a decision that's going to be best.
Eventually, the school district partnered with the People's Agenda for Police Reform for four public discussion panels on SROs and alternatives to police in schools. It also provided the community the opportunity to ask questions. Panelists included NYCLU's senior racial justice strategist Yusuf Abdul-Qadir. Abdul-Qadir said this isn't just about changing what an SRO does. It's about changing the way we think about safety.
Only confrontational circumstances and situations. So that kind of involvement is the type of work that we're talking about. We're talking about people like Hassan Stevens and the Good Life Youth Foundation, who are able to appeal to the entrepreneurial spirit of students and their love of hip hop.
People like Cliff Ryan, Hassan Stevens, and Noble Jennings Bay are what marriage and family therapy PhD candidate Brendan Hawley describes as credible messengers.
So someone that has been through similar instances, someone that might has had interactions with police, someone that might has experienced behavioral problems in the past and has been able to overcome whatever they've been through, someone that's experienced trauma in the past and has been able to overcome what they've been through and can then share their experiences with the students. So basically a better way to connect with an individual on a more personal level.
Advocates like Hawley, Abdul-Qadir, and Dunbar Center Youth Services Program Director Jessica Elliott highlight that much of the behavioral issues experienced in schools are results of trauma.
Having SROs in buildings and having SROs engage violently with children, that trauma is not just happening to the person that is being violently handled. It's happening to all of the people who are witnessing that. And you really have to question whether or not you want these babies to grow up feeling like that, to feel like they are being targeted, to feel like they are always under a watchful eye, to feel like they are constantly being surveilled, to feel like they are not, you know, they're not safe where they're supposed to be safe.
And responses to this trauma are clouded by prejudice. Legal Services of CNY's Sue Young says research backs that up.
Study after study over the past decade has shown that Black and brown students are 3 to 4 to 5 times more likely to get suspended for behavior that would not get a white student suspended. And students with disabilities are much more likely to be suspended for behavior that would not get a student of color suspended. And that's even when you control for the behavior. So it's not like, you know, anyone who would jump in and say, well, the students of color might be doing worse behavior. No, even when you control for student in a fight where there was no injury, or student in a fight where there was an injury, or if it is a student of color or a student with a disability, they are likely to be suspended more harshly.
An independent report from 2014 found that not only did SCSD oversuspend students, but they suspend students of color and students with disabilities at a much higher rate. Many advocates also point out the violence that's occurred when SROs are sent to address students experiencing a manifestation of their disability. In 2017, Officer Valen Smith broke 14-year-old Jabari Boykin's arm while arresting him. The DA's office later cleared Smith of any wrongdoing. SCSD alum Shukri Muhammad addressed this at this summer's Police Accountability Forum.
Why is he still on the force? How is that supposed to make me feel? I'm an alumni. I have three little brothers. Correction, I have four little brothers. That's how I lose my mind when I talk about these things. I have four little brothers. And to think that any of them could be Jabari walking through Nottingham's hallway frustrates me so much. And God forbid if any of my siblings have mental health issues, because the school certainly doesn't address it. You talk about having counselors in our school and advocating, what, 4 million? 1.5 from the Onondaga County? I attended Nottingham. I don't remember mental health being talked about at all. I don't remember counselors being available. Counselors? You mean the guidance counselors? The four that served 1,200 students?
The city settled $400,000 worth of police brutality lawsuits against Valen Smith this year, $200,000 of which went to Jabari Boykins. And more mental health resources are a key part of activists' alternatives to police in schools. They say police are not properly trained to deal with a mental health crisis. Saria Rahim said students are under great stress. They're asking for help and calling on the adults in power to listen.
I think we definitely need to look into having more counselors and people for particularly Black and Brown students to talk to, especially after COVID. I've talked to so many fellow peers who are of color, and like our anxiety is shot through the roof. So we definitely need to have something in place for students to feel safe and comfortable to talk to staff members and counselors.
The Board of Education has advocated for more counselors and is adding more in the district. But schools are under financial strain as New York State withholds funding, and the district must invest in the necessary materials to hold in-person classes during the pandemic. SCSD budgeted just shy of $500,000 for SROs this school year. So for many activists, that means the funding that does exist is going to the wrong place. For City Limits, Winds of Change, I'm Katie Zolkowski.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.